In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we spoke about the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the bride is the church. And the church is getting ready to meet her bridegroom, getting ready to meet Jesus, who is the groom. You see, he has only one body, and it is God's church, and he is the head of that church. And yesterday we saw in the 25th chapter of Matthew that weddings are all about the groom in Israel and not about the bride, and that they were preparing the groom to be ready. I told you that I went to a wedding, and it was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, in all reality. And I saw the bride, and I saw her dancing with other women. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. But I asked, where is the groom? And they said, he's upstairs, hidden, and he's getting ready to meet his bride, just like Jesus. He's hidden right now, but he is present in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's getting ready to meet a bride that is faithful, a bride that loves him, a bride that is true. Now, you see, after Jesus was baptized and he experienced as a human being, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," he was tempted by the devil. He went into the desert, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and when they were ended, he was very hungry. Now, this is a real temptation. After the devil said unto him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread." Well, he's hungry. He's hungry. He's starving. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. And so, I'm sure he could even smell the bread. What does Jesus say? Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." This is a temptation, and it's a real temptation. You see, the devil was at the Jordan and heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is my beloved Son." So Jesus goes into the desert, and he's tempted, really tempted. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said unto Jesus, "All this power I will give you, and the glory of them, for this has been delivered unto me, and whomever I will give it to. If you therefore would just worship me, it will all be yours." Oh my. He saw all the glitter of the day, all the human blessing, all the towns and cities that were buying and selling, and people that were on thrones that were called kings. And "I'll give the whole world to you if you just bow down and worship me." Let me just tell you, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. How many people, you know, have turned to the evil one for power? Because what he wants is, he wants your life down in the gutter. And when you're down in the gutter, he'll say, "You fool." But what does Jesus say? Jesus answered him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The first commandment is, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me." And I truly believe that God gives this first because it's a sin that we are most, we do it. You know, whatever it is, whatever the false god is, it doesn't have to be a statue of Buddha, you know. It can be your job. It can be my ministry. It can be what people think about me. I am the Lord, your God. You should have no strange gods before me. And, you know, we were meant to worship. And if we do not worship the one God, the true God, the holy God, the blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we don't worship God, we will find something to worship. It's real. Because we were meant to worship. We were meant to worship. You know, Thomas Aquinas says, we're thinking beings. But I tell you, we're worshiping beings. And if we do not worship the one God, the holy God, the true God, we will find another God to worship. That's just the nature of things. It might be your reputation. Whatever it is, the Lord says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. Commit suicide. He said, for the Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee, and they shall bear you up upon their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the word of God says, then the devil had ended all temptation. He departed from him for another season, but he came back another season. Let me just tell you this, my friends. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to tell you that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. I want to tell you that he wants you to serve him. And I want to tell you, we live in a world of temptation. We live in a world of temptation. You know, you just need to snap on the television and look at commercials. We live in a world of temptation. You know, they're always trying to tempt us. They're always trying to buy their goods. And if you buy the goods that they're selling, you'll become as sexy as these people. I'm telling you, my friends, temptation is all around us. Temptation is all around us. And we need to submit to Jesus Christ the Lord. We need to surrender to Jesus Christ the Lord. We need to give our lives to Jesus Christ the Lord. That is the only way we will go through temptation. And we're all tempted. We're all tempted. Everyone will be tempted. And your temptations will be different than mine. Because the devil knows you. He's been following you around. And your temptations will be very different than mine. But they'll be just as real. The three temptations of Jesus were absolutely real. He was hungry. He could have been given power. But the power was the cross. And he would not worship the devil. And then if he's so great, the Bible says, if you throw yourself down, the angels will pick you up. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. We are all tempted. And with the temptation is the way out. God gives the way out. The way out is to surrender to Jesus Christ in the midst of the temptation. To surrender in the midst of the temptation. You know, when people think about temptation, they only think about sex. But that's just one temptation. That's just one temptation. There's the temptation to want to be greater than everybody else. There's a temptation to want to succeed. And if I don't succeed, I'm not any good. And I will do anything that would make me succeed. Listen, there's a temptation for every one of us. And the solution to the temptation is the word of God, as Jesus used the word of God. And Jesus Christ himself, the word made flesh. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto the area called Galilee. And there his fame spread throughout the region. And he taught in their synagogues and glorified all. He taught in their synagogue. Let me just tell you about the Jewish worship. Jewish worship took place in the temple. The temple was the place where the sacrifice was offered. But everyone could not go to Jerusalem. So they had to build a series of synagogues so people could hear the word of God. So when you're in the Galilee region, you can't go to the synagogue. You can't go to the temple to worship. So they would have a synagogue. And at the synagogue, they would be reading the word of God and studying the word of God and proclaiming the word of God. And synagogues were all around the world. I remember when I was a little boy, there were two synagogues in Chelsea. And there were one right at the across the street from the other, because there is no temple. Just yesterday or 2 days ago, I went driving around in Marblehead, and then it said, you know, Temple Shalom. The temple is where only one temple, and that temple is in Jerusalem, and it's been destroyed at this point. And the temple is the place where they offer sacrifice, blood sacrifice, and that's gone at this point. For a Jewish a person to say, I belong to a temple, is really to not have faith that God will restore. He will restore the temple again. He will restore the temple again. How he will do it, I have no idea how he'll do it, but he will. And for us to call a synagogue a temple, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. It's not right, because the temple is the place of sacrifice, blood sacrifice, and there is no temple. And there can only be one temple, and it's on Mount Zion, and it's over the place where Abraham offered Isaac. So, the scripture says, he taught in their synagogues and being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is in the Galilee region, where he had been raised. And as was the custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That would be on Saturday. And he stood up to read the scroll. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, when he unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable time of the Lord." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it to the minister and sat down. Now, some people say then there was an empty seat in the synagogue. The empty seat stood for the place where the Messiah would sit. And some people say Jesus sat down in that empty seat where the Messiah would sit. Remember now, if this is true, this is Jesus is telling the whole congregation at Nazareth, where he was read, that he is the Messiah. He rolled up the scroll and gave it again. He began to say to the people, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." What scripture? The scripture from Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, my Lord. And all bore witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. So they said, my gosh, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the one who lived down the street. Where did he get such knowledge? And then they said, is this not Joseph's son? You can see the devil already at work in the people. This is only Joseph's son. How can he get this knowledge? Who does he think he is? Let me tell you. And he began to say unto them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we heard you do in Capernaum, do also here in this country. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. But I tell you the truth, many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain. Then a great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, and only to a widow of Zarephath of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And she was a pagan. That Elijah was fed by a pagan. That the pagan took Elijah into her home. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian, another pagan. And what is Jesus trying to say? He came unto his own. Messiah came unto his own, and he's going to be received ultimately by some Jews, but mostly by the Gentiles. By some Jews, but mostly by the Gentiles. And you know what? They in the synagogue, when they heard these things, that Messiah would be received by the pagans, were filled with indignation. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went his way. Oh yes, you have no power over Jesus. Jesus has power over himself. He has surrendered his life to the Father. Jesus has great power. And you know, you can't touch him until his time comes, when he will die on the cross. No one can touch him. No one can throw him over the brow of the hill until his time comes, when he will die on the cross as the sacrifice for our sin. So we continue. And he came to Capernaum, a city in the Galilee region, and he taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with power. We hear this right throughout the scriptures. When Jesus spoke, people are astonished because he's not speaking as some of the scribes and Pharisees are speaking. He is speaking with the power of God. And they said, you know, where did he get such power? You know, he doesn't speak unless he speaks with great authority. Where did he get such power? This power, you know, this is Jesus. You know, where did he get such power? But I'm going to tell you, it was not only in speech, because it's going to say, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit that was unclean. It was a demonic spirit. And he cried out in a loud voice, saying, Jesus, leave us alone. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you coming here to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Let me tell you this. Jesus does not want publicity from hell. Jesus tells the demon to shut up. Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown the man in the midst, he came out of him, and the man was not hurt. You see, Jesus has been given authority over demons. Jesus has been given authority the authority over the unclean spirits. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The first thing we hear Luke telling us is that Jesus had power over the demonic spirits, and that these demonic spirits knew who he was. I tell you, the devil knows Jesus more than I do. The devil knows Jesus more than you do. The devil knows Jesus, but he will not submit to Jesus. He will not surrender to Jesus. It is his arch enemy. The arch enemy of the devil is Jesus Christ. He hates Jesus Christ. And because he cannot touch Jesus anymore or tempt Jesus anymore, he comes to you and tempts you. Because the devil cannot touch Jesus, he will touch the bride of Christ. He will come with temptations. He will come with full temptations. You know, you want to keep your church open? Then have a bingo. I'm very sorry. It would be better for the church to close than to raise money having people gamble in the midst of the church. You know, he comes with temptation. He comes with temptation. You know, we're the church that accepts everybody. Yes, we do accept everybody. But we call sin, sin. You know what I'm saying? We call sin, sin. Sin is sin. We cannot make excuses for sin. I know a priest that marches in the gay parade, you know, that happens in Boston. Very sorry. I'm very sorry. Sin is sin. Or two people living together that are a man and woman. Sin is sin. We have to declare what sin is, but we also have to declare grace, because where sin abounds, grace superabounds through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. We have to tell people who are sinning that they need to repent, but we don't destroy them. We don't not accept them. We tell them, you've got to repent of your sin, because sin will only do one thing. It'll get you to hell. Because the devil can't get at Jesus, he's getting at you. He's getting at me. And how does he get to us? Through sin. Through sin. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows this. So I ask you, you know, to look at yourself, not with any fear, but if you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and missed the mark and done what everybody else does, if you have sinned, then you get to confession. You get to confession and repent of your sin. Repent of your sin. You get to confession and declare that sin and leave repentant, that with the help of God and with the grace of God, you're not going to be doing it any longer. I'm telling you, where sin abounds, grace superabounds. The devil cannot touch Jesus anymore. So guess who he touches? He touches us, the bride of Christ. There's only one groom. The groom is Jesus the Lord. He is the groom. He is the groom of the church. And he is looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. A believing church. A church who loves him. A church who is crazy about him. A church who keeps on telling him, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I adore you, Lord. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom of the church. And I tell you, the devil hates the church because he can't get at Jesus. He gets at the church. And I'm telling you, we need the grace of God. We need the grace of God, because where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Listen to me. Admit your sin. Do not hide it. Go to confession. Do not hide it. And just admit it and tell the Lord, I am in need of that grace that superabounds. Father, we give you thanks that through the cross, Jesus Christ has conquered sin, Satan, and the devil. We give you thanks that Jesus the Lord has conquered sin, Satan, and the devil, and the world. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that grace would superabound in our midst. This is September, September 5th, imagine, 5th of September. Already the summer is gone, and we need to hear from people so that we can pay our August bills. We have not even begun to pay our August bills. So please, please, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We need to hear from you. We cannot do these broadcasts in these areas unless you write to us, unless you help us. I'm telling you, I'm one of the few Catholics that's on the radio every day. We're on every day on WROL at 11:30 and at 6:30 in the evening. 6:30 in the evening, we replay what I just did today. 6:30 in the evening. And then I'm on WEZE. WEZE every day, Monday through Friday, at 11:15 in the morning, 9:45 in the evening, and 3 in the morning. So I'm on WEZE, that's 590 on the dial, three times a day, 11:15 in the morning, 9:45 in the evening, and 3 o'clock in the morning, it's middle of the night. And I'm on WROL 950 of the AM dial at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. What are we doing with all these words? Proclaiming Jesus, the bridegroom, the one who is worthy of your love. Jesus, the bridegroom, the one who died on the cross for you. Jesus, the bridegroom, the one who rose from the dead for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, I need to hear from you. Please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I ask you to read the fourth and fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The fourth and fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.